Those of you who enjoy the phenomenal work of National Geographic may know the name Franz Lanting. National Geo has long recognized and sought Lanting's high-caliber photography. This partnership has produced excellent commissioned works over the years. His images convey a passionate, loving regard for the natural world and a sense of wonder, of reverence. They serve as a much-needed reminder to us of our place in the order of things. In 2006, Franz Lanting launched what he termed the Life Project, which has been described as a lyrical interpretation of the history of life on Earth. The Life Project was destined to manifest as a photographic exhibit, an interactive website, a book, and a multimedia orchestral performance. Life Project as a performance premiered in Santa Cruz, California in 2006 with music written by Philip Glass, the composer who brought forth such scores as Koyani Skatsi and Kundun. 2 weeks ago, the Life Project was performed with the Louisville Orchestra at Whitney Hall in the Kentucky Center. I was most fortunate to be in the audience that evening. After opening with a visual and sound portrayal of Earth's beginnings, fire, water, air, and land, the story of life continued through the eons of evolution. Visual representations ran the gamut from the global to the microscopic. Naturally occurring geometric designs popped up in striking sequence and combination on the screen. A couple of these early photographs took me way back to the amazing process of mitosis and meiosis, which many of you will recall from science labs. Then, suddenly it seemed there were fish. Fish! The first recognizable representatives of the animal kingdom, which includes you and me. Then the reptilian cousins appeared. All the while, interwoven were shots of earth, air, fire, water in their naturally occurring forms. Volcanoes, oceans, rising mountains. Plants emerged, became more complex. First ferns and other primitive vegetation, and then primitive trees. The first shot of a bird, seen from directly below in full flight, was simply stunning. Throughout the presentation, Lanting beautifully captured the tension between interminable slowness, long periods when it seemed that nothing was happening, then what felt like a sudden shift to a higher level of complexity at the precise moment when conditions were ripe. I found this tension, this just right process, deeply moving. For me, the aha moment came following the first shot of a single flower. One could almost sense trembling, waiting for what was about to happen next. Then the heartbreaking beauty, a close-up of a hummingbird extending its long beak into the flower. Here, finally, was a moment of synthesis that recapitulated all that had gone before, yet clearly demonstrated a quantum leap. So that's where all this was leading. Who knew? Surely, that beak was made for that flower. All the ages of incredibly slow movement now revealed as exquisitely purposeful activity. Nothing would ever be the same again. The artistry of nature, captured by camera and underscored with music, displayed for all to see the utter holiness of the evolutionary process. So what? Well, this experience came as a precious gift. I needed it to set me straight again. After the indescribably brutal news of the day, isn't it sometimes difficult to trust the sanity of the big plan, the longer picture? Don't we long for some way to make sense of it all and to trust that all is well? So easy to miss the grand forest for the daily trees. Consider a day when you don't have a GPS, how easy it can be to drive about out in the country and lose all sense of direction. Nothing seems familiar. Nothing seems to fit. Then, in a flash, you turn a corner and remember where you are, and everything fits perfectly. Now you know your way. This is not an accident. The way was there all along. There was nothing wrong with the plan. It was only your partial blindness that got in the way. Looking back at the incredibly slow and patient process through which life on Earth has come is, for me, tremendously helpful in maintaining balance in the face of current chaos. Just as taking a longer view revealed to the performance audience an unexpected moment of insight, so the simple willingness to be present, watching and listening with rapt attention, allows this moment, this knowing, to emerge naturally in our awareness. And the Buddhist frame of dependent origination, where multiple causes and conditions underlie every act, every event, and every situation, offers a lens through which we can appreciate the immense complexity of our world. Max Planck, the father of quantum theory, described a universal field of energy that connects everything in the universe. He says, "All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force. We must assume behind this force the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter." Yes, we live in an age of increasing fear, brutality, and chaos. At the same time, there are wisdom traditions that suggest, and notable persons who are convinced, that we are on the verge of another quantum leap in evolution. Until the 20th century, the Mayan calendar was the single most accurate system of tracking nature's cycles of galaxies, planets, and our relationship to the sun. Ancient Mayan writings teach of natural 26,000-year cycles called the precession of the equinoxes, the time it takes for the Earth to journey through the 12 constellations of the zodiac. This cycle is divided into 5 world ages, each lasting around 5,000 years, with the current cycle ending at the winter solstice in the year 2012. Vedic writings see that time as the end of the Kali Yuga, a period noted for its increasing materialism and brutality, and the beginning of the next Yuga, a period of increasing lightness and harmony. From the Institute for Heart Math at Princeton University comes information about the magnetic field of the heart, many times greater than that of the brain, suggesting that the heart-based emotion of the world's population may be influencing the magnetic fields of the Earth, those fields now linked to everything from climate stability to peace among nations. Native American traditions, notably the Hopi, have left a number of astoundingly accurate prophecies regarding nuclear weapons, the internet, the United Nations, and DNA cloning. And in his book, The New Earth, Eckhart Tolle states that we are living through a radical inner leap of consciousness from the current identification with our ego to an entirely new way of thinking about who we are. Author, educator Jean Houston goes even further. She says, "We are present at the birth of an opportunity that exceeds our imagination. We are swept in currents over which we have no control. We are the ones who have the most profound task in human history, the task of deciding whether we grow or die. It will require becoming evolutionary partners with each other." So how do we integrate these various visions and inspirations right here and right now? Contemplate the fact that we are living in a time of great transition, that we have access to ancient wisdom and to current prophets. Recall that we live in social and political freedom, that we are well fed and housed, and that we are consistently haunted, nudged, enticed, and propelled toward further awakening. That this confluence would occur in one lifetime, as Gangaji says, is a miracle. Oh, it certainly looks like we have a fairly daunting task at hand. And we have an ally. An ally of great power and integrity. The regular practice of Vipassana meditation develops an openness of heart and mind which enables us to see clearly the real nature of whatever presents itself in this moment. Naked, without commentary or tweaking. We have a path, a wisdom tradition, and we have guides for the journey. Humility and humor are certainly in order. I did not start this process, and it is beyond my control. I am reminded of Alan Watts and his culling the meaning of life to four questions. Who started it? Are we going to make it? What are we going to do with it? And who's going to clean up? At the same time, clarity and confidence are imperative. Cleaning up my own personal act in order to be available for awakening is a must. This is Rumi. Breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. You must ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill where the two worlds touch. The door is round and open. Don't go back to sleep. I'm going to close with a poem by John O'Donohue entitled For a New Beginning. Out of the way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness grow inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety, and the gray promises that sameness whispered. Heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent. Wondered, would you always live like this? Then, the delight when your courage kindled and you stepped out onto new ground. Your eyes young again with energy and dream. A path of plenitude opening before you. Your destination is not clear. You can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is at one with your life's desire. Waken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you.